This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of the posterolateral approach to the tibia from the approaches section on orthobullets.com. The posterolateral approach to the tibia provides exposure to the middle two-thirds of the tibia, the entire fibula, and is used when the anterior and anterior medial approach is limited by skin issues. Indications for the posterolateral approach to the tibia include ORIF of tibia fractures, bone grafting for non-union or delayed union, implantation of electrical stimulators, excision or biopsy of bone lesions, osteotomy, and fibula resection for fibula transfer. In terms of surgical planes, the internervous plane in the posterolateral approach to the tibia is between the tibial nerve, which innervates the posterior compartment, and the superficial peroneal nerve, which innervates the lateral compartment. So to review, the tibial nerve innervates the gastrocnemius, soleus, and FHL, which are all located in the posterior compartment. The superficial peroneal nerve will innervate the peroneus brevis and the peroneus longus, which are both contained in the lateral compartment. In terms of preparation, anesthesia options include general, spinal, and a peripheral nerve block. In terms of positioning, the posterolateral approach to the tibia can be done prone or in the lateral position. Finally, a tourniquet should be used to exsanguinate the limb using elevation or an S-mark. Now, let's talk about the approach. In terms of incision, a longitudinal incision is made on the lateral border of the gastrocnemius, and it can be made of desired length. In terms of superficial dissection, first you will reflect the skin flaps, taking care not to damage the short saphenous vein. Then you will incise the fascia in line with the incision. Next, you will develop the intramuscular plane, where you will develop the plane between the gastrocnemius and soleus in the posterior group and the peroneal muscles in the lateral group. Keep in mind that the muscular branches of the peroneal artery lie with the peroneus brevis proximally and may need to be ligated. Finally, you will retract the soleus and the gastrocnemius posterior medially, and once done, you will identify the origin of the FHL and the soleus on the posterior border of the fibula. Moving on to the deep dissection, you will detach the FHL and the soleus, detach from the posterior border of the fibula, and retract posterior medially. And keep in mind, you may expose the entire length of the fibula. Next, you will detach the posterior tibialis, where you will remove off the posterior surface of the interosseous membrane. And remember, the posterior tibial artery and nerve will be posterior to the posterior tibialis and FHL. Next, you will follow the interosseous membrane to the tibia. Specifically, you will follow the posterior surface of the interosseous membrane to the lateral border of the tibia. Finally, you will dissect the posterior tibialis and flexor digitorum longus off the posterior surface of the tibia to expose the desired segment of tibia. In terms of extensile measures, this approach can be extended proximally or distally. Proximally, keep in mind that it cannot be extended into the proximal fourth of the tibia, as the popliteus muscle, posterior tibial artery, and tibial nerve preclude proximal dissection. Distally, this approach may be extended to become continuous with the posterior approach to the ankle. Finally, in terms of closure, loosely close the deep fascia on the lateral side of the leg and use interrupted sutures. Now, to finish this review session, let's talk about some structures at risk using the posterolateral approach to the tibia. And the structures to be aware of include the short saphenous vein, the peroneal artery and its branches, and the posterior tibial artery and nerve. In terms of the peroneal artery and branches, make sure to avoid injury by staying on the posterior surface of the interosseous membrane, and keep in mind that branches may be ligated and coagulated. In terms of the posterior tibial artery and nerve, avoid injury by staying on the posterior surface of the interosseous membrane. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. The first question reads, what is the internervous plane for the posterolateral approach to the tibial shaft? And the choices are 1, sural and superficial peroneal nerves, 2, saphenous and tibial nerves, 3, sural and saphenous nerves, 4, tibial and superficial peroneal nerves, and 5, superficial and deep peroneal nerves. The correct answer to this question is 4, tibial and superficial peroneal nerves. So the posterolateral approach to the tibia is a technically demanding approach that is used when the anterior and anteromedial approaches are not possible due to skin issues. The internervous plane exists between the gastrocnemius, soleus, and FHL muscles posterior, which is innervated by the tibial nerve, and the peroneus longus as well as brevis anteriorly, which are innervated by the superficial peroneal nerve. The neurovascular structures, like the tibial nerve, posterior tibial artery, and peroneal artery, are located between the soleus and the tibialis posterior. And moving on to the final question, what two muscles lie on the posterior aspect of the interosseous membrane and tibia in the lower leg and must be elevated during a posterolateral approach to the tibia for treating a non-union? And the choices are 1. Flexor digitorum longus and tibialis posterior, 2. Peroneus longus and peroneus brevis, 3. Peroneus brevis and peroneus tertius, 4. Tibialis posterior and tibialis anterior, and 5. Tibialis posterior and flexor hallucis longus. The correct answer to this question is 1. Flexor digitorum longus and tibialis posterior. So the flexor digitorum longus and tibialis posterior lie on the posterior aspect of the interosseous membrane and tibia. The flexor hallucis longus lies on the posterior border of the fibula. The posterolateral approach to the tibia is useful to expose the middle two-thirds of the tibia and is often used when the anterior and anterior medial approaches are limited by skin issues. It is useful for plating of fractures and treatment of non-unions, including bone grafting, because it allows for soft tissue coverage of a bone that is otherwise subcutaneous. The superficial internervous plane lies between the gastrocnemius / soleus, which is innervated by the tibial nerve, and the peroneal muscles, which are innervated by the superficial peroneal nerve. The deep dissection involves detaching the FHL and the soleus from the posterior border of the fibula and then dissecting medially to separate the posterior tibialis off the posterior surface of the interosseous membrane and the posterior tibialis and flexor digitorum longus off the posterior surface of the tibia. That's all for this review about the posterolateral approach to the tibia. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website or mobile app while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the OrthoBullets podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.